Listen for the gospel of the Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" I love that. They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village where they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we've heard your word. Now let it sink into our hearts and grow up into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This thing that's happened in this story where Jesus shows up and they don't recognize who he is, this happens all the time in the Bible. Happens all the time. Obviously, it happens in this story. Their eyes were open. They're like, they've spent all this time with Jesus, and all of a sudden, their eyes are opened, and he's gone. But that happens throughout the Bible. That's why I chose the Judges passage for Pete to read. That's why I chose the Judges passage for Pete to read. We've got this guy named Gideon, and his country is occupied by a foreign power, and people are just coming in and taking all of their stuff, and he's, I think it's threshing wheat in a wine press, which is not really where you do that kind of thing, but you have to do it to hide out of sight where the Midianites won't find you. So he's already hiding, and the angel of the Lord appears to him and gives him all of these instructions, and he's like, "I think you've picked the wrong person. I'm not the person that you want for this job. I'm the bottom of the bottom, and my tribe is the least, and I'm the least in my clan, which is the least in my tribe." And the angel says, "No, you're the one I want." And so he brings this offering, and all of a sudden, the angel touches it with his staff, and boom, it's gone. And he goes, "Oh my word, this is unbelievable. I see what's happening now. I just got a message. I need to double check and make sure that everything's working." That was a prayer request. Okay, so, but this is everywhere in the Bible, this thing where people don't recognize what they're in the presence of until it's gone, or until it's almost too late. You've got Balaam, and there's an angel standing in the roadway, and he doesn't see it, but his donkey sees it, which is kind of ironic and hilarious. But yeah, this is everywhere in the Bible, but it's also, there's a line where Jacob says he was sleeping in a place and he wakes up and says, "Surely this is the house of God and I didn't know it." This is just how we are. There's a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning called Aurora Leigh. I read part of it. It's a massively long poem, but I read the part that this section's from, and it was just mind-blowing and amazing. But this line is the one I keep seeing everywhere. It's, "Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes, the rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." I love that. Or there's another song called "Holy as a Day Is Spent" by Carrie Newcomer, where she's finding the sacred in the mundane. It's called there's this line, "Holy is the dish and drain, the soap and sink, and the cup and plate, and the warm wool socks and cold white tile." She's finding the sacred in the daily, in the everyday. And there's a line she calls "Hymns of Geese." Can you imagine Hymns of Geese? Can you imagine seeing that? I love that. And now I do see it because every time I see the geese, I go, "Oh, geese singing hymns." Or "Holy the familiar room, quiet moments, folding sheets like folding hands to pray as only laundry can." I gotta confess, I haven't prayed while folding laundry. That's not a thing I've done, at least not very much. But there's this powerful recognition that there's something sacred happening in the everyday of what we're doing. Oh, that's right. And this line that I've used before, I'm sure some of you probably heard it before. The line from the play Our Town, Emily, this girl named Emily, has died, but she gets an opportunity to go back and see the town that she grew up in. And all of a sudden, all the beautiful things that have happened in life that she never noticed before. And there's this moment where she talks to the stage manager and she says, "I can't go on. It goes so fast. We don't have time to look at one another. I didn't realize. So all that was going on and we never noticed. Do any human beings ever realize life while they live it? Every minute?" And the stage manager says, "No. No, the saints and poets, maybe they do some." I love that. And occasionally I've fancied myself a poet, so sometimes I'll be able to see things. Like quite a few years ago, I was in a restaurant with a group of people from the young adult group at my church, and everybody was taking pictures, and this girl was sitting next to me, and we were talking, and she was like, "Why are they taking all these pictures?" And I was like, "Maybe it's because they realize that there's something really powerful and beautiful going on here, that we're just sitting around here having lunch. That's probably why they're taking pictures, because there's something more going on here than meets the eye, and they can sense that, and they want to take a picture and capture that moment." Which brings us to today. We're in a pandemic, a sort of a mass trauma, and we're all experiencing that differently. Some of us are unable to go out, some of us have to go out and try because we're essential workers, and some of us would do anything to get out. Some would do anything to stay home. But I think one thing that might help us in that is if we just take time to catch our collective breaths and see the beauty and the holy in the world around us. So I want to invite us to do that, to just maybe every day take a little time to try to see our world, even if it's just inside the house, to listen for the holy. And a few ideas of how we might do that. Read poetry. If you can find some poetry, read some poetry. Or, God forbid, the Bible. Some people may struggle to read the Bible and find the holy in that, and that's okay. Or write poetry. Sometimes you can just even write free verse, just like Elizabeth Barrett Browning's poem that I read earlier. That's not a, it doesn't rhyme or anything. It's just lines. Or journal, just write something. Or if you can't write something, maybe, oh, I had that on there. Oh, great, thank you. Meditate. If writing's difficult physically for you, or it's just difficult mentally for you, you could just ponder about what you're seeing in the world. Like looking out the window, you can see green grass. The grass is actually green, it's not brown like it so often is in Michigan. Or flowers, or things like that. Or the sky's not quite blue out there yet. Listen to music. What? But it is sunny out there. That's right. Kristen told me it's sunny. She's right. Or listen to music. Turn off the TV news. That is not good for your soul. Okay? TV news is not good for your soul. You might need it in reasonable amounts. You do need it in reasonable amounts. But turn it off. That stuff's not good for your soul. Like, look in the story of the Road to Emmaus. They're walking, the disciples are talking about the news, and Jesus interrupts them talking about the news, and he starts talking instead about what God is up to. Did you catch that? Jesus interrupts them talking about the news and says, "What are you guys talking about?" And then he sort of reinterprets the news through the lens of what God is doing. So, another thing you might want to do is take pictures. Not like mindlessly snap, 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 but let when you're out in the world or even in your house and you look out your window, if you've got access to a camera or a camera on your smartphone, you can just see something and go, "Wow, that's amazing. I need a picture of that." Maybe look at it for a minute too. But like I was out running the other day, and can you give me my clicky? Thanks. I was out running the other day and I saw this. Can you blow that up? Look at that. It was almost sunset and I was just running down the street and took my breath away. And I was like, "Okay, I need to stop running." Okay, bring me back. And he's like, "I need to stop running and take a picture of this." Another one of, oh, sorry, no, I wanted that back. Clicky. Another practice we might do for recognizing the holy in our lives is just stop. Just stop. Like on Mondays are my day to stop and just not do the things. I'm not working on a sermon, I'm not working on video editing or anything, and it drives me crazy sometimes, but I really, really need it. I turn off Facebook, social media, and just try to be here. Speaking of stopping, one of the things that Ryan has been doing, because I guess we've told him to stop doing some things sometimes, is he'll just be like, "Daddy, stop." And I'll look at him, I'll be like, "Ryan, I'm not doing anything. What do you want me to stop?" And he's just like, "Daddy, stop." I was like, "Okay." But last night when we put him to bed, he's been really irritated about the idea of going to bed. But last night when we put him to bed, he was standing at the gate by his room just crying. He went, "Daddy, stop." And I was like, "I'm not." And then I realized, okay, maybe I do actually need to stop. So I crouched down and I looked him straight in the eyes and I just, I see the, I look at my kid's face and I see the tears streaming down his face and he is so sad, mostly because he doesn't want to go to bed. But he's just, I looked at him and I remembered being a little kid myself and thinking that my dad wasn't seeing me. So I took a minute to look at this little person who is just so distraught. And I finally said, "I understand you're upset because you don't want to go to bed, but it is time to go to bed." But I want to give myself a little bit of credit for looking at him and for just for stopping and seeing what was going on. And to be fair, there's a lot of busyness. Like I'm really busy. And I tell that story because there's a lot of times when he's like, "Daddy, stop." And I don't stop. And I want to try to work on paying attention to the "Daddy, stop," and just stop and pay attention to him. But also stop and look at the world outside your window. if you can see it, as we ever so slowly creep on this 47th day of March into May. Another one is to talk to someone. Pay attention if your heart is, if there's a burning in your heart. And finally, be patient with yourselves. If you just can't right now, that's fine. We're all going through this mass trauma in one way or another. And look at this story of Emmaus. These two disciples who are, they've experienced this mass trauma. Jesus has died. This their friend, their rabbi has died. And then he appears next to them. And because, I think maybe it's because they're so traumatized, they can't recognize him. Like, maybe if it was just some other day before all of this had happened, maybe they would have immediately picked that up. So go easy on yourselves if you have a hard time doing any of these things or all of these things. Jesus calls them foolish and slow of heart to believe, but I've never read that as harsh. I've always just kind of read that as Jesus patting them on the head and going, oh, you're so cute. Like, Jesus himself is walking with them, and they don't recognize who he is until he's broken bread and disappeared. And I think a lot of times we do that. We don't recognize what's happening until it's gone. And it's a spiritual gift sometimes, I think, to be able to see what's happening in the world and in our hearts while it's happening. So this is just my invitation to pay attention to that, even if it's really hard sometimes. And maybe every now and then we'll catch a glimpse of Jesus breaking bread before he disappears. Let's pray. God, how often do we miss you? Please open our eyes and our hearts to where you are with us in the road, so we may know your presence with us and your love for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.